Which Bible leader would you like to be? If you could look through the Bible at all the leaders that are there in the Bible, which one would you select that you think you should be? Let me give you some names. Tell me if you think you should be one of these leaders. How about Shammua or Shaphat or Igal or Paltai? You want to be one of them? What about Gadiel or Gadai? Or Athiel or Sether? Would you like to be one of those leaders? You ever thought about maybe following in their footsteps? What about Nabai? You want to be like Nabai? Or Guel? Have you ever thought about those Bible leaders and thought, you know, that's the kind of leader that I want to be? Likely, you've never heard those names before. I wasn't making those up. Those are real Bible leaders. Turn your Bible to Numbers chapter 13, and that's where you're going to read those 10 names. And in Numbers 13 and verse 2, they are called leaders. In Numbers 13 and verse 3, they are called the heads of their families. These are not just random individuals that we read about in the Bible. They are Bible leaders. You want to be one of them? Or would you like to be one of the other guys that's mentioned? Perhaps if I mention the names of Joshua and Caleb. You heard of those guys before? You hadn't heard of Shammua and Shaphat, and you haven't heard about those. You haven't heard their names. But you know them, don't you? Because in Numbers 13, Moses sent 12 leaders. We call them 12 spies, but Numbers 13 and verse 2 calls them leaders. Moses sent 12 leaders, sent 12 spies into the promised land, and we know that 10 of them came back with one report and 2 of them came back with the other report. We know the names of the two, Joshua and Caleb. You couldn't have named, likely, let me not be unfair. There are some of you who may have been able to name one of those other 10. But if you were like me, I couldn't have named one of those other 10 unless I looked it up first. Do you want to be one of them? Which of these leaders do you want to be in Numbers chapter 13 and 14? You see, in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 4, the Israelites said, did you notice the verse when we were reading it? In Numbers 14 and verse 4, the Israelites said, let us select a leader. They already had leaders. They just didn't like the leaders they had. So they wanted to select a different leader. If you this morning could select the leader that you should be, what kind of leader should you be? The reality is that every single one of us, no matter what walk of life we are in, no matter where we are in our Christian service, we have in some way a responsibility as a leader. What kind of leader should we be? I want us to look right here, Numbers 13 and 14 this morning. And I want us to decide today what kind of leader should I be today? The first thing we're going to see when we look at these leaders is that they start out as a unified group. It's not 10 and 2, that's later. It's 12. They start out as a unified group. They start out as a compliant group of men. I want us to see this morning that there were 5 commandments, 5 commands that were given to these men, and all 12 of these men obeyed, were compliant with the 5 commands. You got your Bibles open in Numbers chapter 13. Look down in verse 17. Let's look at these 5 commandments that they were given. Moses sent them up to spy out the land, and he said, number one, here's commandment number one, go up. Commandment number one, go up this way into the south and go up into the mountains. Commandment number one to these 12 guys, are they going to be unified? Are they going to be compliant in what they're told to do? You drop down into the next verse, into verse 18. He says, go see, here's commandment number two, go see what the land is like. You go up into the land, and when you get there, see what the land is like. Look at verse 19. See if the land is good or bad. We need to know this. When you come back, we want to know, is the land good or is the land bad? Look at verse 20. Your Bible might say, is it rich or poor? Is it fertile or is it barren? We need to know these things. So go up, commandment number one. See what the land is like, commandment number two. See what the people are like, commandment number three. You see that in verse 18? See whether the people are strong or weak. How hard is this going to be? Are there strong people there? Are there weak people there? What does the end of the verse say? Are there a lot of people there? Or are there just a few people there? Five commandments they're given. Go up. See what the land is like. See what the people are like. Look down in verse 19. See what the cities are like. See whether the cities they inhabit, are they like camps? Are these people just dwelling in tents? Or are they strongholds? Are they fortified cities? Are they walled cities? We need to know. Are these folks just living out there in a tent, or are they living behind walls? We need to know what the cities are like. And then commandment number five. Commandment number five is down in verse 20. After he asked them to see if the land is rich or fertile, bring back something to us so that we can know. So he tells them at the end of verse 20, bring some of the fruit of the land back with you. So Moses selects 12 leaders. He gives these 12 leaders five commands for them to fulfill during this period of time in which they're going to go spy out the land. What did these 12 guys do? They all did the same thing. That's what I want us to see. Before we start seeing them divided into different lists, into different camps, I want us to see that right here at the beginning, these guys are united in what they do. Look down in verse 21. The commandment of verse 17 was to go up. So what did they do in verse 21? They went up. What did they do in verse 22? They went up. So they're commanded, go up. What did they do? They obeyed. They complied with that commandment. When they came back, they reported. What was the land like? They were told, go see what the land is like. Look in verse 27. Look in verse 27 when they reported, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. This is a fertile land. It is a fruitful land. It has an abundance there. So they were told, go see what the land is like. They come back and said, here is what the land is like. They're told, go see what the people are like. So look in verse 28. They come back and they tell them in verse 28, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Remember, they were told, go see if they're strong or weak. They come back and say, yep, they're strong. We wish we could tell you that they're weak, but we think that they're strong. And the end of verse 28 says, and the descendants of Anak are there. We don't know who Anak, today, we don't know who Anak is. We don't have Anak living here. You drop down to verse 33 and you read about the descendants of Anak there. Some translations call them the Nephilim. Other translations in verse 33 call them the giants. Not the New York giants. These were real giants. So they come back and say, let me tell you what the people are like. They're strong and they're giants in the land. Well, are there a lot of them or are there few of them? Look in verse 29. The Amalekites dwell there. The Hittites dwell there. The Amorites dwell there. The Canaanites dwell there. Yep, there's a lot of people who are dwelling there. But I want you to see that these leaders who come back, they're all there unified with the same message. We went up. Here's what the land is like. Here's what the people are like. And let us tell you what the cities are like. You wanted to know if they're camps or if they're fortified. Look in verse 28 where they tell them, yep, the cities are fortified just as we sort of expected. Well, did you bring any fruit back? We want to know what this place is like. You remember what they did to have to bring the fruit back? At least to bring the cluster of grapes back up in verse 23. They had to have a pole to carry their cluster of grapes back between two guys. Have you ever gone to the grocery store and bought grapes and you needed two people with a pole to carry the grapes out to your car? How much would you have to tip the guy who delivered the grapes out to your car, the two guys who delivered out to your car on a pole? That'd be a serious cluster of grapes. So they go and they're told, do these five things. They come back and said, We've done these five things. And besides the word nevertheless that you've got in verse 28, and we'll come back and talk about that in a second. Besides that word nevertheless in verse 28, these guys are unified. They've been compliant with what God told them to do. Why did they need to fulfill these commands? Well, they needed to know, what's the military power of these people who are there? What are we facing? But not just the people and the military power. What's the agricultural situation in this land? What are their natural resources that are in this land? And so Moses wants to be prepared for whatever lies before them. What are the people like? What's the land like? What are the cities like? And up to this point, you see at least a report that is saying the same thing. You've got 12 leaders who are reporting the same thing about the land. Except you know from your Bible history and from your Bible knowledge, they're not saying the same thing. While they were obedient, while they were compliant and unified for that time, we split these two groups into two camps. We go from a unified group of men who've been compliant to the will of God, and we read out of that this group of 10 men that we talked about at the beginning. Gadiel and Gadai and Sether and these 10 guys, they're weak leaders. The Bible says they're leaders, but they're weak leaders. They're cowardly leaders. They're faithless leaders. I want us to see in this text, what does a weak leader look like? I want us to see from this text, what does a fearful, cowardly leader look like? What does a faithless leader look like? And as we go through these qualities we see here, I want us to use it as a mirror and ask ourselves, does that describe me? Could I be seen as that kind of a person? Could I be seen as that kind of a leader? We find in this text that those who are weak and fearful and faithless leaders are those who are uninterested in doing what God says. They are uninterested in heeding the will of God. We see that in verse 32. They came back, the children of Israel, these 10 men come back, and what kind of report did they give in verse 32? They gave a bad report. These 12 men were all giving one report, but 10 of them broke off, and of this report, the Bible says they gave a bad report. That's repeated over at the end of chapter 14 where it says they didn't just give a bad report, they gave an evil report. God says, I'm giving you this land. Just go and take it. And when they come back, they give a bad, evil report about the land. What does that tell you? They're not interested in doing what God has to say. They're not interested in following what God wants them to do. And these are individuals that not only are not willing to heed the will of God, they are predisposed to saying, we can't do this. Look at what they say in verse 31. But the men, these 10, who had gone up said, we are not able to go up against the people. We can't do it. Do you know any leaders who are predisposed to saying, no, we can't do that. Oh, no, we can't do that. No, we can't do that either. Here's 10 weak, cowardly leaders who just saw the beauty of the promised land that God's giving to them, and they come back and say, no, we can't do that. No, we're not going to be able to do that. Is that the kind of leader God wants us to be? The ones that look at the glory of what He has for us, oh, I don't think we can do that. These are leaders who are absolutely faithless in their walk. And to take that terminology from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, these are people who are walking by sight and not by faith. These 12 men all saw the same thing. I want you to understand, we got to see that. They saw the same thing. They saw the same people, the same land, the same cities, the same cluster of grapes. They saw the same thing. How can they be so divided in their report? Because this group of men is only walking by sight. They're not walking by faith. And so what do people who walk by sight do? Look at what they say in verse 31. These people are stronger than we are. What do you mean stronger than we are? How can they be stronger than we are? You've got God on your side. How can they be stronger? Because they're not seeing God. They're only seeing themselves. And when you only see yourselves and you don't see God, well, everybody's going to be stronger than you are. Look in verse 32. They see that in this bad report, there's a land that devours its inhabitants. They're looking at all the conflict that exists there, and all they can say is, oh, how are we going to deal with all this conflict? How are we going to deal with all of these mighty men there? Oh, we can't do it. Walking by sight, not by faith. Look at the end of verse 32, where they said, and all, think about this at the end of verse 32, all the people we saw in the land are men. Stop there for just a second. Are all the people they saw in the land men? You know that's not true. All of the men we saw in the land are men of great stature. You mean there's no short people in that land? There's no regular-sized people in that land? Everybody is a man, and he's a giant. No. You know that's not true, but they're walking by sight. They're not walking by faith. And so walking by sight leads them to only see giants in this land. And so in verse 33, they say, the end of verse 33, we were like grasshoppers. Here are these giants, and we are like grasshoppers. The second thing they say is that we were like grasshoppers in their sight. They're giants, and they're looking at us, and they're saying, oh, look at these poor, pitiful little people. That's the second thing they say. The first thing they say about grasshoppers, not that we were grasshoppers like grasshoppers in their sight. We were like grasshoppers in our sight. What does that tell you? They're walking by sight and not by faith. They see themselves as not able to overcome these giants because they're not seeing God. That's what weak, fearful, faithless leaders do. They see all of these challenges, but they don't see these challenges and how God can take care of them. And so this report we learned from the book of Deuteronomy, as Moses reported this 40 years later, he said this report melted the hearts of the people. The people heard these 10 men saying this, and it melted their hearts, and it discouraged them. So look in chapter 14. These kind of leaders lead people into hysteria. Look in chapter 14, verse 1. Do you see the word all? So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. I want you to see the hysteria that these 10 men have come back. They've given this bad report and said, oh, we can't do this. We're like grasshoppers in our sight, their sight. They're faithless men. And it drives the people to hysteria. These people are going, they're out of their minds in the fact that they've come here. It doesn't just drive people to hysteria, it drives people to despair. They wept and cried all night long. What are we going to do? It drove these people to rebellion. Look in verse 2. They complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. If only we had died in this wilderness instead of stinking following you, stinking leaders. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword? Fearful, fearless, faithless leaders lead to fearful, faithless followers. Lead people to hysteria, to despair, to rebellion, and ultimately lead them to destruction. You read the last part of this chapter, in chapter 14. And what do we learn happens? What do we learn happens to those who chose to follow Those who chose to follow these 10 leaders, they are their leaders, they chose to follow the report of these 10 leaders. And what happens to them at the end of chapter 14? God says, you're going to go into that wilderness. And you're going to be in that wilderness 1 year for every day you were in there spying out the land. You're going to be in that wilderness for 40 years. And I would challenge you to go and look in chapter 14 and see how many times you read the word carcasses. Your carcasses, your carcasses, your carcasses. If you heard God talking to you about your carcasses, would that get your attention? What's going to happen to you? You're going to go in the wilderness and you're going to die. You're not going into the promised land. Why? Because you chose to follow weak, fearful, faithless leaders. Well, what happened to those weak, fearful, faithless leaders? Look in chapter 14. What is it, verse 36, where it says, now the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned, these 10, and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land, those very men who brought the evil report about the land, they died by the plague before the Lord. We don't have time to go and read the last 10 verses or so of chapter 16. But the last 10 verses of chapter 16 is where you read about that plague, where you read about 14,700 Israelites dying in a plague because they rebelled against God. And Moses says right here, guess what's going to happen to those 10 weak, fearful, faithless leaders? They're going to die in a plague of rebellion. That's not very encouraging, is it? That's not very exciting to look at that. But today we're saying, in Numbers 14, they said, let's select a leader. Today I challenge you to select a leader. You want to follow one of these 10 guys? Do you want to be this kind of leader? Or maybe I should say, are you this kind of leader who leads people down a path of despair instead of a path of hope? Who leads people down a path of only seeing things by sight and not walking by faith? God wants us to walk by faith. So I want to spend the last part here for just a couple minutes looking at those other two leaders. Instead of looking at those 10 weak leaders, I want us to look at two strong leaders. Instead of looking at those two cowardly, fearful leaders, I want us to look at two courageous leaders. How do they contrast here? Instead of looking at two fearless or faithless leaders, I want us to look at two faith-filled leaders. And it's amazing to me to see how God draws a sharp contrast and a distinguishing contrast between these two types of leaders. Remember what we said about those weak leaders? That they were the kind of leaders who are not interested in heeding the Lord's will. Well, guess what strong leaders do? Strong leaders urge people to follow God's will. Look in verse 30. Caleb, one of the strong leaders, quieted the people before Moses. And what did Caleb say? First three words. First three words of what Caleb says. Let us go. You can just look at the first two words. Let us. What does a strong leader do? Strong leader looks at those who are around him and he urges them. He encourages them. You know what? God said this. Let's just go and do it. He's not looking at whatever challenges there may be and allowing that to influence him as a leader. He's saying, if the God said it, let's just go and do it. Let us go. And he doesn't just say, let us go, but notice the urgency of it. Caleb says, let us go up at once and take possession. Caleb did not say, you know, yeah, there were some challenges over there. Maybe we ought to form a committee to talk about this. And, you know, we'll let that committee meet for a couple months and let them brainstorm some ideas about how can we take this land. And that committee will come back and they'll give us the ideas. And after we hear their ideas, well, we'll think on their ideas. And we might have to form a second committee because I'm not sure about... What did Caleb say? God said, go and take the land. And Caleb said, let's do it right now. Why are we waiting? What's holding us back from doing what God told us to do? That's what a courageous leader does. He sees the command of God and says, let's go and do it, and let's go and do it right now. The fearless leader, I keep mixing those words up, is not predisposed to say we can't. Look at what Caleb says at the end of verse 30. For we are well able to overcome it. You see verse 31? Those 10 lousy guys, we are not able. In stark contrast to what did Caleb say? We are well able. Caleb was not saying that because of what Caleb saw in the strength of the Israelites. Caleb was saying that because of the strength he saw in God. He was choosing to walk by faith and not by sight. Look in chapter 14. Look in chapter 14, verse 6. Joshua and Caleb, the two faithful leaders, they tore their clothes at the end of verse 6 when they heard these people saying, oh, let's just select a different leader. In grief and anguish, they tore their clothes. They spoke to the congregation in verse 7, and they said, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. God is giving this to us. Look in verse 9. Do not rebel against the Lord. Don't fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. They're our bread. They are our prey. We don't need to fear them. We're going to go in and take them with God's help. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Walking by faith says the Lord is with us. Walking by faith says, let's not rebel against the Lord. Walking by faith says, let's not fear the people. The end of the verse says, let's fear God. What kind of leader are you? What kind of leader do you want to be? Do you want to be one who walks by faith in God? That says if God said it, that settles it. Let's just go and do what God says. But these fearless leaders, they're not swayed. They're not influenced. They're not deterred by hysteria. That's where the people were. They're in hysterics. Sometimes leaders say, oh, well, maybe we shouldn't do it. They didn't allow that to deter them. They were not deterred by the despair of the people. Oh, we can't do this. Oh, I don't think we can. It didn't stop them. They knew what they needed. The leaders knew what they needed to do, and they were going to do it. They were not deterred by the rebellion of the people. The people were rebelling against, no, we're not going to do this. And what do these leaders say? This is what God told us to do. Just because you oppose what God told us to do doesn't mean we're going to stop doing what God told us to do. Is that the kind of leader that we need to be? These were leaders who were not stopped by the opposition that came. Look in verse 10. What was the congregation ready to do to Joshua and Caleb in chapter 14, verse 10? They're dead. We not only are ready to select another leader, we are ready to deselect you as our leaders permanently. Ready to stone them to death. But these leaders weren't even going to allow opposition to stop them. And they would not allow being in the minority to keep them from doing what was right. You ever feel like you're in the minority? Every day. 10 men come back and with a louder voice than the two are giving their report. And who do the people listen to? Well, they listen to the 10. We're not going to listen to these two. They listen to the majority. And the people follow after them. If you were Joshua or Caleb, what would you do? Well, I guess we'll just go along. That's the way everybody else is going. We'll just do that too. Or do you stand your ground and do you say, this is what God wants us to do. And we're going to walk by faith and not by sight. We're going to be individuals that focus on God and on His protection. Look in verse 8 of chapter 14. If the Lord delights in us, He's going to bring us into this land. We only want to do what God wants us to do, and that's where they were focused, on His purpose and on His desire. And do you know that faith-filled leaders are protected by God? Look in verse 10. I had not noticed the end of verse 10 the way that I did in studying for this lesson. Verse 10, the first part of it says, and I guess the first part of it's what I've just normally looked at, but the end of, I don't know why I've never focused on the end of verse 10. First part of verse 10 says, the people rose up to stone them. The end of verse 10 says, now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. That just seems out of place. You're reading about this whole event, and then all of a sudden the glory of the Lord appears in the tabernacle? That just seems like an incidental thing that you read. It's not incidental. God sees His leaders about ready to be stoned, and He comes in His presence down upon the tabernacle, stopping what was happening. God protected His people. And God will protect us. In whatever means, by whatever means He chooses to do it, God will protect us. Faithless leaders will lead their people to destruction. But where did these faith-filled leaders lead their people? Everybody 20 years and over died in the wilderness during that 40 years, except Joshua and Caleb. And 40 years later, when you read the book of Joshua, it's those two men, especially Joshua, but those two men who lead God's people into the promised land. We need strong leaders today. We need courageous leaders today. We need faith-filled leaders today who will not look at the circumstances around, who will not look at the naysayers around and allow that to detract them from doing what God tells us to do, and to set our sights upon the promised land. We've got a promised land that every single one of us today wants to get there. And as leaders, we need to lead and help others to get there. If you were to look at these men and say, select the leader that you should be. Sometimes I think we walk by sight too often and not enough by faith. Too often we're swayed by the majority, and maybe we're ashamed of being a part of the minority. Too often we allow those things that the world is saying to influence us and to deter us, instead of saying, if that's what the Lord wills, we can do it. May God help every one of us. And we're all in different roles as leaders. But as Christians, we all have some role in which we are leading others to the promised land. May God help all of us to be faithful in that regard. Where are you this morning in your relationship with the Lord? Where are you this morning, and what leader are you following today? Are you following the leader who's going to take you to heaven? Or are you following somebody else? You know, sometimes we are influenced by our friends and our family members. Sometimes we think, well, this is what so-and-so did, and this is where so-and-so goes to church, so I'll just do what they do. I'll just go where they go. Sometimes we've heard individuals preach something on the television or the radio or on the internet, and we've heard what they've said. So, well, they sound pretty knowledgeable. I'll just follow what they're doing. I'll just follow what they say. Are you sure that that's leading you to the promised land? You see, this book tells us how we get there. This book tells us that the only way for us to reach the promised land is to follow the leader and to believe that He, our leader, is the Son of God, that Jesus came and died, He was buried, and that He was raised again the third day, and He was ascended, and He sits right now at the right hand of God. Do you believe that? If that faith is in your heart, the Bible says you have a right to become a child of God. You're not there yet. But with that faith, it ought to drive you to look at the sin that put Jesus on the cross and say, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to turn away from that sin, get away from it, change my mind, and turn my life in the direction of God. Have you ever done that? Have you ever made up your mind to stop doing what's wrong, start doing what's right, and say, from this day forward, I want to stay away from sin? If you've done that, and even this day, if you've made that decision, you can do as they did in the New Testament. Confess your faith in Jesus and do as they did in the New Testament. This isn't something that some church or some preacher made up. This is something we read about in the New Testament. To be baptized into Christ. For at that very moment, to obtain something that you did not have before you were baptized, the remission of sins. At that very moment, to allow God to add you to His church and to write your name in heaven. If you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, we encourage you to do it today. There's water here today. There are garments and towels here today. We're ready for you to do that this day. And those who've been baptized for the remission of their sins, God calls upon us to obey Him faithfully, heeding His will, wanting to do what He wants us to do, because that's what He's told us to do. Walking in the light as He is in the light. All things were ready. All things were ready for God's people to go in and to take the promised land. All they needed to do was to get up and to do it. All things are ready for you today to be saved and to enter into God's promised land. All that is lacking is for you to stand up and to take it. If you need to respond to God's invitation this morning, we encourage you to do it right now.